Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
This past year, on Thanksgiving Day, two things happened. First, I turned 55, which means I'm now only 5 years away from being 60. Second, my son Caleb, who is currently a sophomore at college studying Christian Ministries at Taylor University in Indiana, gave me a book for my birthday called Why We Love the Church by Kevin DeYoung. At first, when he gave me the book, I was thankful, but at the same time, I wasn't all that excited to read it because I had literally have piles of books that people have given to me through the years. But because this book was for my son, I decided to push it to the top of the list to be read first. Not only did I enjoy the book, but also I learned a lot about the current state of the church and appreciated hearing from a 21st century perspective, which is also rooted and grounded in Scripture, of why we should love the church. Our radio program today could have been taken from a number of popular books on why the church, or even from Kevin DeYoung's book, Why We Love the Church, and they're all good. But I want to stick here today with this book, the Bible, and look at what the Scripture says, particularly here in Acts chapter 2 with the birth of the church, that goes into descriptive detail to help us understand what is the point, what is the purpose of the church that can be categorized into what I call the fourfold ministry of the church: the evangelizing ministry of the church, the enfolding ministry of the church, the establishing ministry of the church, and the extending ministry of the church. But before you get too concerned about having a four-point outline for our radio program today, you can relax a little, because we're only going to focus here on the first 2 points for this week. First, we have the evangelizing ministry of the church, which includes both the outward call and the inward call. The outward call is what we as God's people are called to do, which is the outward proclamation of the gospel. Last week in our radio program, we spent some time on this, reminding ourselves what is the gospel, those core essential truths, teachings that need to be conveyed in the message of salvation that we share with others. But at the same time, we need to remember that ultimately, the gospel is not a what. The gospel is all about a who, wrapped in a person. The gospel is who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus provides for all those by God's grace alone, by faith alone, trust in Him alone as our Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. But just who are we to proclaim this good news of the gospel to? Well, that's simple. To everyone. Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This includes every person, every age, and every nation. And that's why Child Evangelism Fellowship, one of our vision statements, says this: every child, every nation, every day. We're commissioned to take the gospel to everyone, everywhere, and that includes children. But at the same time, even though we're commissioned to take the gospel to everyone, we ourselves cannot save anyone. Only God can. Our job is to proclaim the gospel. It's God's job to do the saving, which points us to the inward call. The inward call is what God does. Specifically, it's how God calls and draws people unto Himself for salvation. Here in Acts chapter 2, with Peter's first recorded sermon, we can see in the evangelizing ministry of the church how the outward call, the proclamation of the gospel, and the inward call, which is God's job, what God is doing, work together. In Acts 2:36, the Apostle Peter says this: "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This is the outward call, the clear proclamation of the gospel of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. But then in the very next verse, in verse 37, we see God's inward call work. It says, "Now when they heard this," the people heard this, "they were pricked, they were cut to their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men, brethren, what shall we do?" You see, it's our job to clearly explain and proclaim the gospel. But here we see it's God's job to cut, to convict people of their sin and to see their need for Christ, and then to quicken them, to bring them by the power of the Holy Spirit, those who were before spiritually dead, to now spiritual life in Christ. What I'm saying to you here isn't just slicing and dicing how people are saved, how people come to Christ. It's biblical. In fact, three times in the same passage in Acts chapter 2, it's going to emphasize this very point, that God does the inward call work and draws people and brings them to salvation. Here in verse 37, God's inward call work is described as cutting and quickening. Then in two verses later, in verse 39, God's inward call work is prophesied in the Old Testament in Joel 2:32, which says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But don't miss this point, because Joel 2:32 doesn't end there. It goes on to say, "As many as the Lord our God shall call." And then in verse 47, which is the last verse in Acts chapter 2, God's inward call work is ongoing, for it explains how the Lord continued to grow the church even to this day now, because the Lord added to the church daily such as should or being saved. But what does all this inward call work mean? It means salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. But here's the real mystery, that even though salvation is of the Lord, God chooses to use us in proclaiming the message of the gospel to those who are lost in the evangelizing ministry of the church. Now, I'll never forget the first time I led a child to Christ. It was 1986 when I was 16 years old. I had just finished taking the CEF of Ohio Summer Missionary Training at Cedarville College to be equipped as a summer missionary with about 40 other young people from across the state. After the 12-day training school, the CF instructors then unleashed us and sent us out to conduct those backyard Bible clubs, or what CF calls Phi Day clubs, in different areas. My first Phi Day club was held in Xenia, Ohio, outside of Springfield. I only have 5 children who attended, but I could tell from that first day that all 5 children were not only unchurched, but also all 5 needed to hear the gospel and be saved. Every day I sought to share the gospel just as clear as I could and then give the invitation to trust in Christ, but every day it was the same, nothing, no response. On Thursday night, right before the last day of Phi Day Club, I didn't sleep well that night because I kept thinking about those 5 children, and I couldn't understand why they didn't respond to the gospel. Then it dawned on me, and it hit me like a lightning bolt. I thought, had I even really prayed about it? Or was I just acting like their salvation coming to Christ all depended on me in my presentation of the gospel and my focus on getting the gospel right? I remember being on the top bunk bed at Cedarville Dorm saying to the Lord, "God, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I know how to do. I was trained to do. Only you can save these children and bring them to yourself." I wonder if that's what God was waiting for. I gave it to the Lord, and then finally I was able to go to sleep. The next day, I went out to the Phi Day Club with those same 5 kids and gave the gospel and the invitation again, just as the same as I had done before for the past 4 days. But this time, when I asked for a response, 3 of the 5 hands popped up to show me they wanted to believe on Christ. I was stunned. What had made the change? I don't know if I had the answer back then, but I think I do now. It's because God did it. Salvation is of the Lord, even in backyard Phi Day Clubs, from beginning to end. But here's a question that we need to consider. Since it's God's job to do the actual saving and salvation, then what's our job, our responsibility, to those who respond to the gospel, who have trusted in Christ for salvation? This is where we now move from the evangelizing ministry of the church to the enfolding ministry of the church, which is what we read about here in the next few verses in Acts chapter 2. In verses 38 through 42, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." Here we see clearly the unfolding ministry of the church involves 2 things: next steps and baptism. First, the next steps in the unfolding ministry of the church is where we need to be prepared to explain to people what are the next steps for people who have responded to Christ, not to be saved because God alone does the saving, but to explain salvation in Christ, what they must do now, which includes the outward profession of repentance of sin and the outward profession of faith, trusting faith in Christ, because we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, from beginning to end. These next steps in the outward profession must include, just like the Apostle Peter did here in Acts chapter 2, the repentance of sins, which means to turn away from sin and at the same time to turn to God. In CEF, we teach children that they must know that they are a sinner and they cannot save themselves. There must be an admission, a confession of sin, along with a genuine turning to God. But not only does there need to be these next steps of repentance of sins, but also, as the Apostle Peter says here, there must be belief, faith in the name of Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus provides. CF is certainly not the be-all and the end-all when it comes to explaining next steps for the outward profession of repentance and faith, but CEF does have a simple way of explaining these next steps to children at their level. We call it Know, Tell, Believe, Call. First, know. Know you are a sinner and you cannot save yourselves. Then tell. Tell God about it. Admit, confess you're a sinner to God and turn to Him. Believe. Believe in who Jesus is and what Jesus did on the cross to pay for your sin, and that Jesus arose again from the dead, just as God's word says, to save you from your sin and to give you eternal life. And then call, because God's word promises in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, tell, believe, call. A lot of times people get hung up on the salvation timing of when a child or a person believes in Jesus, or in other words, what's the exact moment of salvation when they were saved? The biblical answer is that salvation is of the Lord, and only God knows that, and God and God alone is in charge. Just like in the evangelizing ministry of the church, our focus is to be on the outward call, the proclamation of the gospel. That's our responsibility. So it is with the enfolding ministry of the church. Our focus should not be on the exact time of salvation. That's God's responsibility. Our job is to make sure that we are being clear in explaining the next steps in the outward profession of repentance of sin and faith towards Christ. This balance between God's inward call and the outward profession is, in fact, what's being described here in Acts chapter 2. God's inward call of salvation is evidenced by the outward profession, which results in the remission, the forgiveness of sins, the giving of the Holy Spirit, which is the internal baptism to all who believe in Christ at the very moment of trusting in Christ for salvation, and the promise, God's promise of eternal life in Christ. Now, one thing I love about Scripture is that when one passage is less clear, there's always another passage that is more clear, especially when it comes to crucial doctrines of salvation. We see the inward call and the outward profession here in these next steps in Acts chapter 2 at the birth of the church, but also the Apostle Paul says and explains the same thing in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the reason here that Apostle Paul was almost like splitting out the confession, the profession of faith between the heart and the mouth? What's simple? It is to show how God's inward call work of the Holy Spirit and the outward profession of repentance towards sin and faith towards Christ go together. That day in Xenia, Ohio, after those three hands popped up, I had the privilege of counseling one of the children who was older, perhaps 10 or 12 years of age, and led her to faith in Christ. At that time, when she prayed to receive Christ with me while we were sitting on the grass that day under the big blue sky on that bright summer day, I might have pinpointed back then that that was the exact time of her salvation. But now looking back, I can see how God was at work in her heart already, even before that moment. Who knows? Maybe she and her heart believed in Christ during the Bible lesson or when the invitation was given, even before she came back to talk with me and sit down on the grass. All I know is that she was ready. She understood the gospel. She internalized the gospel. It was like picking up ripe fruit that had already fallen from the tree. As a children's worker, a children's evangelist, I think it's interesting that right here in the evangelizing ministry of the church and the enfolding ministry of the church, there is a tucked-in verse found in Acts chapter 2, 39 that says this, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." It's as if right here at the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people were saved, that God wanted to remind the people that this message of salvation for the repentance of sin and faith in Christ was not just for them, for the adults, the big people in the room, but this promise of salvation was also for their children and for those who are far off, even to the far corners of the earth, to those yet to hear the gospel or even to be born. And that's because salvation first and last is of the Lord, just as the scripture says, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. You know, for me as a children's director, serving as a state director for CEF of Illinois, this understanding of our job and God's job concerning the issues of salvation takes all the pressure off. Yes, we have a job to do, and yes, we have an awesome God-given responsibility, but at the same time, God is in charge of salvation, and not one, God's word says, whom God has ordained to eternal life, whom God will call and draw to himself, will be lost. It's simply our job to go out and open up our mouth and proclaim the gospel and then enfold them into his fold to be part of his body, the body of Christ, the church. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. I don't want to forget, so please tell me.